kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I have a title for us to consider today, and we're calling our teaching, True Relationship with God Doesn't Depend on Flesh and Blood. True relationship with God doesn't depend on flesh and blood. And when I was preparing this and considering this title that I believe the Lord gave, I was aware that when we come to Christ, we didn't do it through the flesh and blood, but the Spirit of God was in operation, and he was doing that work of change in our hearts. How often have you found that true touches of God don't come via man? And your relationship with God, the new birth that he has graciously given to us, does not come via through man. This is the Spirit of God speaking that new life into our very being. The same words that were spoken in Genesis 1 when he created the world and created man, it is the same words, the same Spirit that does that work in us as well. And when we can get that from our heads to our hearts, we will really begin to understand what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Because we know that we cannot save ourselves. It is the grace and mercy of God. And we know that flesh and blood has nothing to do with the new birth. You cannot run to a spiritual doctor to get the new birth in Christ. And I want to emphasize this today to encourage you. To encourage you in your walk each day and the various trials and testings that we go through, that God is trying to use all of this to get our attention, that it is a waste of time looking to man for the answers. They do not lie there for the Christian. This is why through the baptism of the Spirit, he has given us revelation in which he illumines our minds to understand what the Spirit is saying. We cannot even conceive or understand this message or the scriptures that we're going to talk about unless it is received in the Spirit. And it is God that is doing it. This is why I say that these meetings are so important and are so special, because it is supernatural. It doesn't come by flesh and blood. And I know it takes us a time to learn this one. And I'm very aware where the battle lies. It lies so often in our minds. And of course, this is where the enemy makes the battle, because he knows that's where he can either hold us or we can allow the Spirit to bring deliverance. We have a choice. Now, I want to look at some scriptures to lead into all of this. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us a clear understanding of his walk and how he was able to walk like he did with Almighty God. And turn with me, if you will, now to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16. Actually, we'll go from verse 15 of Galatians 1. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. And that is what God does. It is the same work and principle. God calls us and separates us from the womb. For what purpose? Here it is, verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He had grasped something. He had supernaturally seen the one that he was persecuting, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw, not only had his life completely changed, but he realized flesh and blood didn't do this. This was supernatural. And he is so attuned to the Spirit, and by this experience, that the Holy Spirit leads him into the desert. For what purpose? To teach him, to train him, so that God reveals himself to him. It's not enough just to see Christ on the road to Damascus. It's not enough even when we have the new birth, and that is supernatural. God has to start to teach us to walk by faith. And it's the same principle. He didn't go to the apostles. He didn't go to any of the church members. And my, the Holy Spirit was moving. No, he didn't. He went into the desert there to be taught by God, to be prepared for the ministry that God had got for him. And it is likewise for the overcomers. We are hid in our spiritual experience, Romans 12, being prepared for what lies ahead of us. And this cannot be given by flesh and blood. It can only come by the Spirit. And this is why I'm calling this teaching, true relationship with God doesn't depend on flesh and blood. And that is what we're called for. We're called for relationship with God. And when you begin to really experience true relationship with Almighty God, flesh becomes irrelevant. We have need of it because God is so great and all-powerful, and he knows us even better than ourselves. He knows our needs. He knows how to please us, and so on. And this is what he's doing. And so this is telling us something. This is giving us the key how to walk with the Lord as we look at this in Galatians 1:16. And this is why we've had the teaching over the years to walk by faith and not by sight. It's impossible to please him otherwise. Hebrews 11:6. That's why he says that without faith, it is impossible to please him, because of this very principle, that he wants his Spirit to now teach you and lead you and guide you and preserve you and keep you. But this can only be done if we are willing to walk by faith and to trust him. What does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3-8? 2 Corinthians 4. verses 3-8. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And that's what's happened to you and I. No longer does Satan blind us because God has told him to stand aside. For the purpose that the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shines on us and through us. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the true God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. Reminds us again of Genesis chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Christ, the light of the world. You are also the light of the world. The church is the light of the world because it shone in our hearts to give us knowledge, revelation. Is man involved in this? Is the arm of the flesh involved in any of this? Not at all. When are we going to grasp this? This is supernatural. And this is how our lives should be as we walk daily with the Lord in fellowship. And he has granted that access for fellowship. This is why we're told we can come boldly into his presence. He's dealt with sin. He's dealt with what separated us from him. And yet we get so caught up in the world and the anxieties of the world and the lies of the world and the news of the world and everything. We are to be separate from this. The news that we should be interested first and foremost should be the Word of God. Everything else is secondary. Because it is our faith. It is our spiritual manna. What does it say in Matthew 16 and verse 17? And what does the Lord say here? And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, our Lord is saying, you are blessed because you are experiencing what I am experiencing in the flesh. Our Heavenly Father speaking to us. That's why he rejoiced. That's why he identified. Because Peter recognized who he was, the Christ, the rock, the true salvation of which the church will be built upon. And what does it say? And the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. Hell, Hades, will not destroy Christ's body. So why do we live sometimes like it? As though he's going to destroy everything. Sometimes it looks as though he is, but God has already decreed it will not. As loud as the enemy gets and as loud as he growls, this foundation that we stand upon, our union, our fellowship together with Christ and each other will not fail. The enemy cannot destroy this because God has said it. Now we know over the years how the enemy's tried to destroy this assembly. We could write a book on it, but here we are, by the grace of God, still standing, coming together in fellowship. Why? Because that's the revelation. and flesh and blood can't reveal this. We can't look to man, to the arm of the flesh, for this church and to keep it functioning and going. No, no. It's supernatural. It is God's work, not man's work. And that's why when you begin to understand this and it goes from your head to your heart, you will appreciate this assembly. We appreciate our fellowship, our unity and our oneness together and in him. Because it's already there. And the Lord said, blessed are you, Peter. You've not received this through man. God showed you this. And he rejoices. That, again, is how our Lord worked. That's how he heard from his Father. He didn't depend at all on the arm of the flesh, even though the arm of the flesh is finally going to put him to the cross. But he too walked by faith, yielding to the Spirit. And this, of course, is where it is. We'll allow the Spirit to influence us so that we can obey and yield to God. And when we yield to God, it's always revelation. In other words, it's supernatural. I know we know this story very well, but this really again comes to mind of faithful Abraham. Let's just briefly look at this in chapter 21 of Genesis. Chapter 21 of Genesis, and we'll just look at some of this, of where Isaac is now born in his old age, and now God is going to test Abraham to see whether he walks by faith, revelation, or he walks by fear and unbelief. And that's why God allows you and I to go through these trials, because these trials are teaching us that we walk supernaturally. And here it is in Genesis 22, we take it up. And the Lord Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So he's going to have a mountain experience. And this is a clear sign how God begins to take us higher with him. And that is what he wants to do, brothers and sisters. And to go higher with God, you cannot depend on flesh and blood. It is supernatural. So Abraham, we see, is willing. He takes his son Isaac. And what is God doing? God is working on his will. He doesn't argue. He doesn't raise any questions. He says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So he's hearing from God. God is speaking to him. Here we are. The Bible tells us we're not to walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He's hearing by the Spirit. So Abraham rose early, verse 3, in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood from the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship and will come back to you. Ah, it's faith speaking. You see, it's all supernatural. This is what happens when you're walking in the Spirit. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hands and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Now we see a difference. See, Isaac yet isn't understanding. He's young. The walk of faith. But we note with Abraham, he speaks quite differently and positively. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." You see, God knew, of course, what he was going to do, but he needs to hear that. He needs that confirmed to his heart from Almighty God. "Now I know you will walk before me. You won't question. You won't ask why." And when we come to that place, God Almighty, your Father, will communicate to you. He will reveal this to you. This is such a big faith builder. Because flesh and blood doesn't reveal this. And I'm convinced that we're coming to a place in this walk. And some of us have been walking many years before God, where we're coming to these experiences. And God is going to speak. And very often he's going to do it right through the trials that you go through. Because in many ways, this is a trial. This is a testing. He's prepared to offer up his son, his beloved, his promise. But all the while, God is on the scene. God is in control. God is in control of his hand coming down to slay him. And we should learn something from this. And it's interesting, not only is God working on his will, but note, it takes, he's not going to do it later. He's not going to decide, I'll do it tomorrow or the next day. Because if he decided to do this the following day or in a week's time, this potentially could have ended in disaster. And it's amazing how we debate and we argue with God. We know it's right, but we look for any excuse to put it off. You see this in the world, don't you? You see it in politics. We can see it in our family life. You know, they're all putting it off until they have to do it. You see, if we're to climb those mountains with God, it can never be done later. It must be done now. And that's the key to this. You see, the sacrifice to do his will must be worked in your will before it's done. So God has to do a work first. We may be challenged by this, but hold in there. Because the word of God will do that work. This is why I keep saying, come, listen to this word. Come under the anointing. So God is working in your will for these very acts that Abraham was doing. And when he's worked in our wills, then we are willing to do his will. He works in us both to will do for his good pleasure. This is what he was doing with Abraham. And if you are to climb these mountains and to go higher with God, then this is what he has to do. And to do and to sacrifice, it has to be worked in our will before it's initially done. That is why your steps of faith, whether you step out and trust God for those finances, or whether you step out and trust God for your healing or your deliverance or whatever it is, remember this: God has first worked in your will and my will for that to be done. This is why it went wrong so much in the past. We just heard it and ran off with it, little realizing that God, in his mercy and grace, has to work this within us. You've heard me say so many times, it has to drop from the head to the heart. And only Abraham could offer up Isaac when it was in his heart. It would have been disaster if it was in his head. And he went off, and he wouldn't have obeyed God anyway. Have you noticed when it's in the flesh, we never obey God? We work it out how we're going to do it and when we're going to do it and what we're going to say and so forth. Stop right there and go no further. Because a step of faith is revelation. And this is why I've said you can trust in these promises. We can walk totally by faith in these last days because it's revelation that's worked in us in order to do it. That sees mountain experiences going higher and higher with God. But to sacrifice and to do his will must be worked first in our wills before it can be done. Reminds me of the Lord's Prayer: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There it is in the Lord's Prayer. It is praying God's will into your will, my will. And that is revelation, as we ain't going to do it. Trust me. And so we've read Abraham, he woke early. And he went. A wonderful simplicity of faith. Not getting any confirmation. Not going and getting some advice from anybody else. He heard God and he went. He didn't even confer with his own thoughts. How often do we do that? We're conferring with our own thoughts, our own logic, or what we think is right. And we get it wrong. It has to be revelation. It is God, the Spirit, revealing it to us as we wait on him each day. You see, Abraham's walk is no different to our walk. He was one of the patriarchs that believed God. He didn't try and question or work it out or get logic in the way. Can you not see how busy the enemy is affecting man's mind these days? Man's minds now have been taken over in these last days by demons. No wonder we're seeing such mental problems, psychiatric problems, because the enemy knows where to attack in the mind. He's no fool. But praise God, the word says, we have put on the mind of Christ. That's our confession. That's our belief. It doesn't matter what's going on in your mind. You should come back with it confessing, I have the mind of Christ. And I have it through the new birth. Even though your mind may be under attack, maybe God's allowing your mind to be under attack to change your confession, because your confession is wrong. Oh, I don't know what's going on with me. I don't know what's going on in my mind. I can't get over these thoughts and whatever it is. Well, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And maybe it starts by confessing you have his mind. And that will get the enemy to retract. You see, God's watching to see whether we believe these promises that we read in God's word or not, you see. It's not just going to suddenly fall down from heaven. The same as Abraham, when he was called to offer up Isaac, he had to physically move to Moriah and be shown that mountain of which to go up. And it's the same with us. We have to make that move, and then God is faithful. He meets with us. That's what covenant is about. But I think at times we're all just sitting back and expecting him to do it all. It doesn't work that way. That's why it's called we walk each day by faith. Walk, we note. And we have to remember this. And he didn't confer with anything. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. Because these are the things that hinder. They compete with obeying God. Do you find yourself saying, you know, I don't really obey God. I'm not really doing the will of God. I'll tell you why you're not. Because you're looking to the arm of the flesh for confirmation. And it's hindering. God will speak to you. He's baptized you in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need anyone else. He doesn't need you to confer with flesh and blood. He will reveal to you. And he'll confirm it through his word. He'll confirm it through a preacher or a teacher, what he's already saying and preparing you to do. So any act of faith that you find yourself doing or will do in the next week or month, it will be because God has been working on your will in which to do it. He's faithful. Otherwise, it's never going to happen. He works in us both to will do for his good pleasure. And he's going to get you to step out in faith. He's going to get you to stand upon these promises. This is why I say so often when you are in faith, you are at rest. You are at peace because God's presence is with you in that step of faith. And if you haven't that peace, you're insecure, you're not sure, you're wavering, stop and get before God. And wait on him and find out where it's gone wrong. And it won't take long before he'll show you. I'm also reminded that Abraham didn't choose what sacrifice he would like. So be careful how you choose your sacrifice or your service for God. And that's why I'm a great believer, as you wait on the Lord will establish what he has for you, your calling, your ministry, and whatever it is, you see. Because it is a sacrifice once you take it up, and there's no turning back. Believe me, I know from experience. So be wise how you serve God. You remember this, whatever your cup is it sweet or is it bitter? Then drink it in communion with him. And sometimes our cup is bitter for a season, But he still says we drink this in communion because it is a deep, deep work of healing and deliverance he's doing with us. If it means a trial, you go through it and you don't decide the place and the time for your spiritual martyrdom. No, whatever trial you go through or you're going to go through, no questions, no arguing with God. Just look to him and allow God to do that work. And believe me, he'll do it. You see, God chose the test for Abraham. And he neither protested, he neither delayed, but he steadfastly looked to God and he obeyed God's will. There's one of the finest principles to go higher with God on that spiritual mountain. You see, you can't get your mind into it when God speaks to you, when he calls you to walk by faith, because it never makes sense. You can't fathom it out. You can't work it out. There's no point putting logic to it. Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Just trust that he's in control. He knows what he's doing. You see, if you're walking independently of God, it's easy to blame or to hold resentment against him. Or even judge him. Go through these trials by his grace and mercy, and afterwards, when you come out, ask yourself, am I still holding these views of resentment, or am I still judging him? And I don't think you are, because you have learnt something, what that trial and test was for. And God would never, ever allow you to go through it unless he's teaching you to walk by faith, to trust and obey him. Because it is the trials that do this. And sadly, so much of Christendom is running away from these trials because it's easier to trust in the arm of the flesh. But the arm of the flesh will fail us. And aren't we seeing that now with the great falling away? You can't trust any of that, as most of it you cannot believe now. So, you know, God is in many ways being merciful. The reason that he's shaking the heavens and the earth is to wake the church up. To wake us up, that you cannot trust in any of it. We must observe these spiritual times and seasons and what they're for, what we can learn from them, what God is trying to teach me. And we know that we cannot believe most of what we hear today, which simply throws us upon the word of God and the promises of God's word, so that we hear from God. And this, all of this is, as I bring this to a close, so that he influences our will. Because we're not going to do it otherwise. We're going to find our wills are just a little bit too strong. And this speaks to me why God has given us a will. For this very purpose, so that we willingly will to worship him, to follow him. And even he's worked that within us. The very fact that we're here today in fellowship, in this room, listening to this word, means that God worked in your will to do this, to obey. When you begin to see this and see this working in your life, it changes you. You begin to understand that your life and walk is miraculous. It's supernatural. Because it can't be done otherwise. It's the Spirit of God working in your life and my life. I am so grateful to be able to be here today, to be in this room, and to share with my brothers and sisters, because I know I cannot do this. And when we begin to thank God and praise Him for what we see Him doing, your life starts changing. Your confession starts changing. Some of us have become depressed and down. We're believing too much in the world and the negative news and everything. We need to turn back to the good news of the gospel. And here it is. And why is it such good news? Because flesh and blood cannot and does not reveal this. This comes by the Spirit, by the unction, by the anointing. And so God wants to work through you and me, our Abraham experiences, of taking us higher and higher up on that mountain of which He shows us. But remember, every mountain to be conquered takes obedience, faith. No questions, no answers, no why, no reasoning, nothing. Here am I, use me. That is how He wants us to walk, with that simple, childlike faith, that simple trust. You may be saying to me, well, I don't know how God's going to work this one. I know it's true, but you just don't know my life. Well, God knows your life. And He's made no mistake. That is why He's a miracle-working God. And that's why we said at the beginning that you have to be called from the foundation of the world. You're called and separated in your mother's womb. And like Paul, who saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, whose life was completely changed, he never conferred with flesh and blood, but he allowed the Spirit to take him into Arabia, and there to learn from God, to hear the voice of God. It's the best way. The wilderness is always where you will find God. You will not find Him in the highways and the byways. And yet so many of our brothers and sisters want to go that broad way. But Jesus said it is a narrow way. Few there be that find it. It is trial and testing. But once you begin to experience it, you want nothing else. Why? Because you are pleasing your Heavenly Father. And He lets you know that you're pleasing Him. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you first loved us. Lord, just take hold of our lives. Our lives can be in a mess, all over the place. We don't know whether we're coming or going. But Lord, in your mercy, take us by the scruff of the neck and get us looking again to you and you alone. Lord, we don't want it any other way. Whatever it takes, work it in us both to will and do for your good pleasure, because we know we will not have a will for it otherwise. We are utterly, totally dependent upon you and upon your mercy and upon your grace. But thank you, Lord, for encouraging us today, showing us that you are well able to do that work which you have begun in us, and you promise that you will complete it. And we thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Let him in constancy follow.
lies down.